Thousands of undocumented migrants and asylum seekers have been given permission to stay in Ireland through what's been described as a once-in-a-lifetime scheme. The regularisation scheme was open to those living here undocumented and those seeking international protection. Newstalk's Josh Crosby has been speaking with people who've secured this stamp for status, I beg your pardon. Josh, good morning. How many people are we talking about?
Well, Jonathan, all in all, there were 11,504 applications made, but as you said, that's split between two strands. So the latest figures up until the end of November showed there were 4,654 applications from the undocumented granted permission, and then 2,303 granted from applications within the asylum seeker section. So that brings us up to 6,957 and leaves another 4,547 applications still to be decided on. Now, the Department of Justice says applications are still being processed, and then there were a small number of 94 applicants who have been declined. There are a range of factors why an application may be declined, such as not meeting certain criteria, there's a cause for concern for public safety, the applicant having an adverse immigration history, or the applicant may have committed a serious criminal offence. But Jonathan, also we do need to consider the whole picture when dissecting these numbers. So the Migrants' Rights Centre Ireland believes there were anything between 15 and 17,000 undocumented living here before this scheme started.
Lots of good news for those who were successful. They have a greater sense of security. Do we know any breakdown on their nationalities, Josh?
We do when we're talking about the undocumented strand of the scheme. So the highest number of regularisation statuses granted were to Brazilians with 1,107, then 853 people living here from China, including those from Hong Kong, and then the third highest to receive documents through the scheme were those from the Philippines with 693. You also have people from Nigeria, India, people from Bangladesh, Mauritius, Malaysia, and many more. The countries named with the fewest were Russia, South Africa and Algeria, with 10 each from those countries. But you can only imagine the difference this will make to their lives. No more looking over their shoulders. I remember I did a report with some undocumented migrants during the pandemic who were hesitant about even getting the vaccine or seeking any type of healthcare due to their worries about contacting authorities. I recently met one woman from the Philippines, who we'll hear from now, who's been living in Ireland since 2008. And it was only this year, after getting through this scheme, she was able to see her children in person for the first time in 14 years. This is Irene Hagoba, who came here in 2008 on a tourist visa, began working in childcare, but campaigned for years to try to be recognised.
First, I thought I'm only going to work for a short period of time, but it wasn't that easy and it's not enough. So I said, I'll try to stay for another 3 months, but things never worked that way. So I had to stay working to support my son, who has congenital heart disease.
You've been in Ireland for over 14 years. What was that experience like? Or I suppose with modern technology, you were able to FaceTime, but just not seeing them in that period of time, it must have been challenging.
I felt like I'm the worst mother in the world because I'm able to look after the child that I'm looking after really well, and I cannot do that for my own kids. Life being undocumented in Ireland is tough because we're always living in fear. If somebody knock on the door, we're afraid to just open it in case it's a guard immigration that's going to send me home. The experience of going out the door, you don't know who are you going to encounter, you know, we're not sure.
You said living in fear. So what did it mean when you got recognized through this scheme? What has that done for you? What has it allowed you to do?
Having a proper documentation now or being legal here is a huge difference because we're able to work in a proper employment and we're able to visit our family back home and come back here to work.
What was it like when you traveled back to the Philippines to see your family?
I did a surprise visit. When I met them in the airport, my son stepped back and said, "Sister, is this real? We have a mom." And when my daughter ran towards me and gave me a welcome hug, then my son said, "Oh, it's really our mom," then run towards us and have a group hug. And I still can't believe it. It was so emotional. God, I don't know what to feel. It was so emotional that time. But my daughter as well. And she said, "Mom, we have you back."
Well, that's Lovely to hear, but heartbreaking that it was left like that. Irene Hagaba, one of the 693 undocumented migrants from the Philippines granted permission to remain in Ireland. Josh, this regularisation scheme was broken up between undocumented and asylum seekers. Have you been speaking with any of the asylum seekers who've gotten the good news?
I have, Jonathan. So how this works is that the scheme was open to people who'd been undocumented in Ireland for at least 4 years at the start of the scheme, or for at least 3 years for families with children under 18. Then for the international protection application, who've been waiting for a decision for 2 years or more, they could apply through a separate process. Now, the latest figures show that more than 11,689 people are living in direct provision, including almost 2,800 children. In total, there were 3,193 applications made under the international protection strand, with Minister Heather Humphreys answering in a parliamentary question recently that 2,303 have been granted permission. I met with one of them to hear what life has been like since she arrived in Ireland and what this means for her. Christy is a mother of two, originally from Nigeria, and is currently living in a direct provision centre in Wicklow. She's studying mental health nursing at Trinity College and told me this scheme has changed her life.
The regularisation scheme was a good one. I was opportuned to have lived in the country for above the years they mapped out, so I applied for it.
What was the feeling when you heard the news that you have been successful?
It was good. It was like, I'm now alive. Unlike before, you know, I don't know my front, I don't know the next move, I don't know how it's going to be like. So yeah, it feels like becoming renewed.
So you were in kind of a state of limbo. You didn't know where you're coming, going, but now you feel like you have a status and you can start building a plan.
Oh yes. Now I have the stamp for life is beginning to make sense. I'm in college. Before, there are things I would want to do, but I can't do it. I can't get it because I don't have any paper. You know, if I'm going to college, I'm going with two legs now, not like shivering or shaking, you know what I mean?
So what are you studying?
I'm studying mental health nursing in Trinity College, Dublin.
And we're sitting outside the Direct Provision Centre here now, but your plans are now to finish this, get your degree, and hopefully one day work in that area in Ireland?
Yes.
In Ireland?
Yes. That's my area of concentration. I'm ready for it. So after that, going to full employment and then give back to the society, you know.
And you're meeting people daily who would love to be successful in this scheme. Is there anything you'd like to see improved in the system?
On the area where I would want improvement is, I don't think there is need for people that came into Ireland to seek asylum had to wait for some time before they start working. You don't need to just put the person in a room and then telling the person to just, you know, hang in there. Most people are in here today, they are not doing anything. So it doesn't make sense. So I don't think it's a proper thing to do. Once their details are in the system, allow them to work. Give them the work permits so that they can start working and then contributing to the society.
Kirsty is just one of the many asylum seekers living in direct provision. By the sounds of things, Josh, she's great plans for her future in Ireland. This has largely been positive.
It has, Jonathan. And Kirsty is hoping to move out of direct provision soon and find a home of her own. So this scheme has given people confidence and most of all security. We heard Irene from the Philippines talk about how it's allowed her to be able to go home and see her children, but then have the freedom to return here again to make a living. Now, not everyone is entirely happy with the way the scheme was carried out, having a certain time frame window or the uncertainty of anything like this happening again in the future. But overall, those who I've been speaking to campaigning for this were really pleased with the outcomes. I took a visit to the Migrants' Rights Centre Ireland office where I met with Neil Bruton, who's a campaign's lead with the group. The MRCI has a number of different campaigns running, and one of those is Justice for the Undocumented. Neil's been working on this for 4 years, and he's encountered numerous different stories of how people ended up being undocumented. He told me how one person who applied to this scheme arrived in Ireland in 1990, so 32 years living under the radar. He starts off by telling me what kind of an impact this is having.
Every day we're receiving messages from people who've just received a letter with the positive result. And, you know, we're having people in tears of joy at the realization that they no longer have to live undocumented here in Ireland.
Some campaigners might have been critical about the closing date of the applications and that not everyone was well informed about the scheme. But was that not the role of NGOs and others to highlight the scheme, what was taking place?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, NGOs play a role in highlighting any scheme like this because we're well connected to migrant communities. But we also would have loved to have seen more of a communication from the Department of Justice on this and an earlier communication so that we can reach as many people as possible who are eligible for the scheme. You know, the scheme was only open for a relatively short period, for 6 months. So we are definitely concerned that some people who actually were eligible for the scheme did not manage to apply for it because they simply didn't hear about it.
So the campaign keeps rolling on. What do you want to see being done next, or what are you calling for?
We would, first of all, obviously commend the government for taking this approach and for introducing this. But I suppose we are very cognizant that many people did not qualify for this scheme. People will continue to live undocumented here in Ireland. And really, we would be calling on the government to build on this progressive approach and to introduce an ongoing system so that people don't have to live undocumented in the shadows long term here in Ireland.
Neil Bruton of the Migrants' Rights Centre of Ireland. We've heard people from each of the different application schemes, Josh, but I think you were speaking to someone else living in direct provision who's really settled into Irish life.
I have, Jonathan. So as I mentioned earlier, there are more than 11,600 people in direct provision. Now, some have the permission to work, some are attending college, many of the children are enrolled in the nearby schools. But I got speaking with one woman, Tumi Auni, who's been living in direct provision for 4 years and has been in several different centres. She started in Wexford, was then in Wicklow, then Tipperary, and now she's in Donegal and loves Donegal, as we'll hear now shortly. Tumi has three sons living with her, and her eldest son just travelled to Ireland this year, but he's not been included in this new scheme. So Tumi is obviously delighted after being granted permission on a Stamp 4 basis. She's working in one of the well-known retail chains in Letterkenny. Two of her children are in school. One of them's a keen hurler, and they're making a life for themselves. I asked her what her plans are now and if the scheme was an easy process.
I came to Ireland on the 27th of February 2019 with my two boys. And now I have my older son who just joined us from January.
And you're based in Letterkenny. So there's a big contrast between the plains of South Africa and the hills of Donegal. So how are you settling in there?
Well, it's not easy because, I mean, home is home, you know. Home will always be home, but at the moment we have to just settle. I do love Donegal, to be honest. I like everything about Donegal. Letterkenny has so many fun things. I had a peace of mind the moment when I moved to Donegal.
So you've got some good news this year with the regularization scheme. What does this mean for you now, and like, what will it allow you to do?
Oh, yes, I do. Hey, first of all, before I talk about the regularization scheme, I want to thank Mercy for fighting for us to be able to end up getting the scheme. I'm looking forward to so many things. I'm looking into traveling back home. There's so many opportunities, you know. I'm working at the moment. I can live my life freely. I can get myself a house.
Was it an easy procedure making the application?
Well, putting on the application was a bit easier. All we needed to do was just to fill the certain forms that they need and stuff like that, and then send it through. And then we were answered within 2 months. We were already answered. So it became more easier than when we were waiting and waiting on the list to be called for interviews and stuff like that.
Tumi Auni, one of the residents in a direct provision centre in Letterkenny, ending that report from Josh Crosby. Josh, thank you indeed very much for that.